SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle. To start off a new week, live on Sports Grid Radio, he is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Hope everybody had a wonderful holiday weekend. Around Thanksgiving, Turkey Day, Joe, is meant for family, food, and football. And there was a ton of football around the Thanksgiving holiday over the past 4 days. A triple header on Thanksgiving in the National Football League. The Egg Bowl in college football. Black Friday had its first ever NFL game on the day following Turkey Day, and of course, the tradition that is Black Friday for college football. The final Saturday of the regular season, Joe, in 2023 of the college football campaign, and the Week 12 Sunday slate just yesterday. So much to break down here, Lisi Guy, on Football Full Circle. Glad to be back with you.
Yeah, I mean, an unbelievable weekend of college and NFL action, Ben. And you go back to the Iron Bowl, what a dramatic finish in the final 30 seconds to save Alabama's season. And then we saw two teams yesterday step up, one in the AFC in terms of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They went on the road against Houston, got a three-point victory, a very gutty road win, their fifth on the season, solidified that top spot in terms of the AFC South. And on the flip side, the Philadelphia Eagles. It isn't pretty, but all they do is win, led by their dynamic quarterback Jalen Hurts. 10-1 now in the regular season, and for the Buffalo Bills, searching for answers yet again.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting conversation, Joe, following what was potentially the game of the year so far in a regular season contest in the National Football League. Let's welcome in that Sports Grid Radio audience on Sirius XM, channel 159. Channel 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. This is a Monday live on Football Full Circle, recapping the Sunday slate around week number 12 of the National Football League. And of course, we'll look back on the final weekend that was of the college football regular season ahead of conference championship weekend forthcoming. But Joe, we go to Philadelphia yesterday. That's where we begin. The Eagles, Joe, in a gauntlet, and we knew that was going to be the case. The game prior to their bye, hosting the Dallas Cowboys, a divisional duel. Bye week on the road in Kansas City last Monday night. The Eagles won both of those games, beating the Cowboys on the road in KC over the Chiefs. And then to back that up, Joe, with a home game on a wet, sloppy track at the Link in Philadelphia against the Buffalo Bills. What a game it was. In overtime, 37-34, Philadelphia prevails. They even cover, Joe, as a slight 2.5-point favorite. The Eagles, the best record, Lisi Guy, in the National Football League, 10-1 straight up. Also the best cover team in the NFL, 7-2-2 against the number. Jalen Hurts, 12 yards out, walks it off as he runs in to the end zone. His second rushing score of the day, Joe. He had 5 total touchdowns. Josh Allen on the other side, also multiple running scores, and threw for 2 touchdowns as well. 420 combined yards for Josh Allen, albeit though, Joe, it comes up short for Buffalo yesterday in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, they gave them everything they could handle, right? The offense was a little bit more aggressive, and even though it was wet and rainy, Josh Allen performed well. We saw Gabe Davis and James Cook stand out in terms of, you know, under-the-radar players outside of Stephon Diggs, and they had the game for the taking, but the defense could not put it away, could not shut down Jalen Hurts when the game was on the line, and even though the Philadelphia defense, Ben, gave up a lot of yards in terms of run support, When the game was on the line for them, they held Buffalo in the overtime period to a field goal. That was the difference. And again, we talk about Jalen Hurts. He's not putting up huge dynamic numbers, but he's doing exactly what he did when he played for the University of Alabama. He was dynamic and just dominant as a starter, and he's dominant as a starter in terms of the NFL over the past couple of seasons, elevates his game in the biggest games of the Eagles season. And that, what more can you ask for in terms of the leader of this offense? He hasn't been turning the football over, and he produces a definite MVP candidate, in my opinion.
Yeah, he is the MVP frontrunner now, Joe, at plus 150. $2 in front of Patrick Mahomes, who has that second best price at plus 350. And Joe, it should also be said that Jake Elliott hitting a 59-yard field goal with only 20 seconds remaining on a day that was wet and sloppy on the field at Lincoln Financial, with cold, windy conditions surrounding, to drill one from 59 yards out, Joe, one of the best field goals in a clutch situation I had ever seen. Now, for Philadelphia, Joe, I think, again, it speaks to the fact the Eagles should be the Super Bowl favorites. They're only 10 cents behind San Francisco at this moment, which kind of mind boggles me. They are in front of the 49ers in terms of the NFC championship market at this current point. And of course, we will see the two teams that faced off in the NFC title game meet next week in Lincoln Financial Field. The Niners, a slight road favorite, now laying 2.5 points against this Philadelphia side. But Joe, whatever way you slice it, and there were some questionable calls yesterday that worked against Buffalo, but whatever way you slice it, Philadelphia finds a variety of ways to win football games against the best competition in the National Football League. Joe, there is no doubt, in my estimation, the Birds are the best in the NFL.
Oh, without a doubt. I never thought there was an argument to that. And I know some people out there, especially on our space, think that, you know, because of how they win and not cover potential ball games, that makes them susceptible. But again, they find ways to blow ball games out. And again, they could do it high up scoring and up tempo the way they did yesterday, 34-31, or they could do it in terms of a grinded out victory the way they did on the road in terms of Arrowhead, right? Trailing 17-7, the defense makes adjustments and they shut down an explosive offense in terms of Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, the Super Bowl defending champion. So that's why they're lethal, is that even when they're not playing their best, either offensively or defensively, they're finding ways to pull this ball game out, whether at home or on the road. And that's a very difficult ball club to beat, right? They're mentally tough and they just know that when the game is in the hands or in the balance in the final couple of minutes, they have a leader in Jalen Hurts that could take them to the promised land, and that is all that matters in terms of the NFL, Ben.
Joe, Jalen Hurts is unflappable. There are very few people as calm and collected in a must-win game type scenario coming down to the closing seconds and minutes like Jalen Hurts. Joe, also some breaking news on this Monday morning following the Week 12 Sunday slate. The Carolina Panthers firing Frank Reich after not even a full season in Charlotte. He becomes the third head coach, Joe, does Frank Reich, in the last three NFL seasons to be fired before a complete NFL year in his first year with his new NFL team. Urban Meyer in 2021 after only 13 games with Jacksonville. Nathaniel Hackett last year for the Denver Broncos after only 15 games. Now only 11 games, Joe, and Frank Reich is dismissed by Carolina owner David Tepper. It is the third head coach, Joe, that David Tepper has fired since he took over the organization in 2018. Of course, fired Matt Rhule after only week number 5 a season ago. We'll get your thoughts on that. Look back on the Week 12 Sunday slate and everything that will come to a head tonight in Minneapolis for Monday Night Football between the Vikings and the Bears. That's the rundown. That's what you have still to come. Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC on Sports Grid Radio. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Come back and join us in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So, Joe, it wasn't one of the significant games of the Sunday slate in week number 12, but apparently the result did, in fact, matter. Tennessee at home in Nashville knocks off the Carolina Panthers 17-10. For Will Levis and the Titans, they cover as a 3.5-point home favorite. Carolina remains with only one win this year. The Panthers straight up 1-10. And Joe, just one outright win and only one cover. They are 1-8-2 against the spread, booked as an underdog in all 11 games. But Joe, it's the aftermath for that result yesterday in Nashville and what it means back in Charlotte. David Tepper and the Carolina Panthers firing head coach Frank Reich after only 11 games into his first year as the head man in Charlotte. Joe, what was your reaction to that breaking news to start off this new week?
I thought it was great. I thought it should have been done 5 weeks prior. How about that? Or maybe even prior to the season, because I never thought Frank Reich was the right guy to lead the Carolina Panthers. And again, you look at his body of work in Indianapolis, working with quarterbacks outside of Phillip Rivers, never really had success. And to cultivate Bryce Young in terms of his rookie season, I thought he did a terrible job. Took away the play calling duties, then took them back. I mean, the confusion from a coaching perspective, they were never competitive. They weren't aggressive as it related to the passing attack. Again, I just never thought it was a great fit and deserved it. Deserved it. Good for David Tepper. He made the right choice to allow this train wreck of a coaching staff continue and derailed Bryce Young's promising career if he's going to have any at this point. So we'll see how it plays out. But again, this offense was conservative. It was one-dimensional. They never put playmakers around Bryce Young to develop him. And now only time will tell to see if he's cut out to be an NFL quarterback.
So, Joe, you give some benefit to David Tepper making the right call. It was also David Tepper that hired Frank Reich earlier this year. There seems to be a clear schism and a disagreement between head coach Frank Reich, his coaching staff, and David Tepper and the front office. There were some things said, Joe, earlier this year throughout press conferences that almost alluded to the idea that Frank Reich did not want to take Bryce Young first overall, but maybe the front office did. That Frank Reich and his coaching staff were more in love with C.J. Stroud, but the front office wanted Bryce Young. Regardless of how that played out, Joe, I think it's pretty clear that David Tepper felt after 11 games that Frank Reich and his offensive staff was not putting Bryce Young, the face of the future franchise in Carolina, in the best positions to have success. When you look at the game logs for Bryce Young, he started and played in 10 games out of the 11 so far for the Panthers this season. Yesterday, Joe, in Nashville, 18 of 31, 194 yards, sacked four times, no touchdowns, no INTs. He has not thrown for more than 250 yards in his NFL career so far. He's only gone over 200 in four of the 10 games. He has 9 touchdowns to only 8 interceptions. And Joe, I don't think people thought Bryce Young was going to win MVP this year. But when you compare what he is doing as the first overall selection in the 2023 NFL draft to what CJ Stroud is doing, who was picked just one spot behind him. And Joe, if you remember, for a couple of days there after his pro day at Ohio State in Columbus, CJ Stroud became the hefty odds on favorite to go first overall. When you compare those two and how the rookie campaigns are playing out individually and then for their teams, Joe, it's pretty tough right now when you look at what Bryce Young is doing. It's not all on Bryce Young. Again, maybe not put in the best spots, and maybe that's what led to David Tepper making this decision right here, right now. But Joe, to me, there was a clear fracture between the brain trust that was the coaching staff in Carolina and the front office and how they wanted to move forward in this organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought up David Tepper in terms of, you know, he was the one that hired him. But you also got to bring in and take into account the actual interview process, right? These coaches come in, oh, we did this, we want to do that, we, you know, just to get the job. You know, they say what they're going to, their game plan or their vision is from, you know, point A in the offseason till, you know, till they win a Super Bowl championship. And unless a coach says that his goal is to win a Super Bowl championship, he wouldn't get hired, in my opinion, if I was a potential owner, because it's win at all costs in terms of that type of situation. Now, okay, the quarterback, if he wanted Stroud and they got Bryce Young, okay, and that was the David Tepper's decision, you still put Bryce Young and open up the offense and put your team in a position to win ball games. But if David Tepper didn't like what he saw, nobody liked what they saw, he made the right decision in cutting his ass sooner rather than later and allowing this to play out 2 and 3 seasons with a lame duck coach like Frank Reich that couldn't coach his ass out of his elbow. I mean, let's be honest, what did he do outside the wild card game in Indianapolis and Buffalo with Phillip Rivers at the helm? He drafted Jacob Eason. He drafted Sam Ellinger. They can't even play in the NFL anymore. He brought in Carson Wentz. So from a quarterback perspective, what did Frank Reich do outside taking Foles to a Super Bowl? Maybe that was more on Doug Peterson than it was Frank Reich, that we give Frank Reich all this credit. Because from what I've seen in terms of his coaching acumen, he's not a good coach, Ben. Never makes halftime adjustments, and the game plan is vanilla.
the overall record in Indianapolis would say something different, Joe. 40-33 in 4.5 years had a winning record when not him making the decision as the head coach, but his general manager, Chris Ballard, never drafted a quarterback for Frank Reich. It was a revolving door of quarterbacks because of where resources were allocated in that franchise. If Frank Reich could have drafted a quarterback, they'd probably do something.
Let me just 40-33. What was his first season in Indianapolis? He took him to the wild card, right? They regressed every single year since he's now in Carolina. It wasn't like he took them to a wild card, then they advanced to the second round of the divisional playoffs. He had Jonathan Taylor. It's not like the weapons weren't there. There were weapons. He just didn't coach them up.
In his 4 full seasons, he was below 500 once. It was 7-9. He had 2 double-digit win seasons in that span. I don't think he was ever given the resources to truly see what that offensive mind, Frank Reich, could do. I don't blame what happened in Indianapolis on Frank Reich. I, in fact, think he has worked for 2 owners that are relatively interesting in how they organize their franchise. I believe that Frank Reich was the guy to fall on the sword for a bad Indianapolis team last year, and that's what led to Jeff Saturday being named the interim head coach. And I believe there was clearly an issue here, relationship, business, professional-wise, whatever it might have been, with the owner in Carolina, in David Tepper. But I think it says more about Tepper than it does about Reich. That's the 3rd head coach he's fired since he took over the organization in 2018, the 2nd head coach that he has fired midway through a season in back-to-back years. Unsustainable, Joe. Unstable, in fact, the environment in Carolina, in my estimation. And it was Tepper that hired Frank Reich. That was before they knew they were going to have the number 1 overall pick, and before the determination was made it would be Bryce Young and not C.J. Stroud or whoever. But that's not on Frank Reich. Obviously, he has influence. He has say. He can manipulate what he wants for the betterment of his franchise. But if there's a disagreement there, Joe, and it certainly seemed like there was, then that's going to lead to his dismissal. I don't think Frank Reich is a bad football coach. I'm not sure he's ever going to get another head coaching opportunity in the National Football League, but I think he's a good offensive mind and will be a good OC somewhere someday. But Joe, when you look at the actual record and what he did in Indianapolis, it's not because of his inability to be a head coach that they stunk or they suffered. In fact, they didn't really stink or suffer. They were above 500 in 3 of his 4 full years, and they had a 40-33 record overall, even after going 3-5-1 in his time there as the head coach. For me, Joe, it's not on Frank Reich. I know things didn't work out in Carolina, but I still think Frank Reich's a great offensive mind.
Yeah, I disagree. And that's, you know, we could agree to disagree on this one. It's just, you watch the game plan, it's vanilla. Again, you have to take shots in today's NFL. Look at teams that are struggling. Teams like New Orleans, they settle for field goals as opposed to trying to score touchdowns. You need to be aggressive. And again, you need an elite quarterback, but it's up to Frank Reich to take that talent and elevate them.
Yeah. Maybe so, and maybe that's what led to this determination at this point. David Tepper not feeling like Frank Reich had Bryce Young's best interests in mind. For whatever reason, it did not work out. But the Carolina Panthers, a 1-10 football team, now have 6 more games to try to turn the momentum in Charlotte. More on FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Looking back on the Sunday slate around week number 12 of the NFL regular season, Joe, that marquee matchup in Philadelphia, the Eagles improved to a 10-1 record, the best in the National Football League, also 7-2-2 against the number, the best cover percentage in the NFL with a 37-34 overtime victory over Buffalo. Now the other marquee matchups, Joe, out in Los Angeles on Sunday Night Football, the Bolts and the other type of birds, the Baltimore Ravens. The flock goes into LA, Joe. They win 20-10, covering as a 3-point road favorite. A pretty similar story, Joe, for what we have seen out of these two teams the past few years, all encapsulated here in 2023. The Chargers are now 1-5 against teams with a winning record. They are 0-4 against the number as an underdog. They had an opportunity under 2 minutes, down by a single score, only a field goal, to go win the game or at least send it to overtime. They don't convert on fourth down. Baltimore pays it off with a Zay Flowers rushing touchdown to add on to their margin. They win by 10, 20-10. The Ravens now, Joe, 9-3, the best record in the AFC. They also improved to 7-4 against the number as a favorite this year.
Yeah, did it with the rushing attack and did it with the defense, right? Four turnovers for the L.A. Chargers. You're not going to win at home or on the road when you lose the turnover battle 4-0 and basically can't shut down Lamar Jackson in terms of the fourth quarter. So, again, you know, same old Chargers, right? They just find ways to lose close ball games. They thought they had a life in the fourth quarter. Justin Tucker misses, what, a 48-yard field goal? It was 13-10. That they had the opportunity. They just can never find their momentum. Justin Herbert couldn't get into a complete rhythm. A lot of the throws were short to intermediate. And that's a testament to what John Harbaugh and the defensive staff have done. One of the best secondaries heading into this matchup. They shut down Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen, contained them enough to hold them to 10 points. Dynamic effort. Again, this is now the best team potentially in the AFC in terms of the Baltimore Ravens, even though Kansas City won. I like what they have. You're running the football, and obviously Lamar Jackson stepping up without Mark Andrews. That's a quality road win to win it by double digits.
The Flock, the second best price in the AFC Championship market, plus 340 behind the Chiefs at plus 195. KC, the favorite, the Dolphins at plus 360. Joe, Baltimore heads into their bye this upcoming weekend. When they get out of it, a tough stretch on the road in Jacksonville, on the road in San Francisco, and a couple of divisional games to end out the season, including that week 18 regular season finale against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Joe, we mentioned the top three prices to win the AFC. Let's start with the favorite, Kansas City, plus 195. Leesy Guy, KC was down 14-0 early in the second quarter on the road against the Las Vegas Raiders, and it was the Chiefs booked as a 9.5-point favorite. For whatever reason, Joe, maybe that was the spark that KC needed to light up that offense once again. The Chiefs respond by scoring 31 points, even scoring in the second half, which is something the Chiefs had not done in their previous three games. 31-17, the final out in Vegas, Joe. The Chiefs improved to 8-3.
Yeah, a great effort, right? I mean, Josh Jacobs was running wild in terms of the first half. You mentioned the Raiders jumping up, but Patrick Mahomes maintained his composure. We saw Travis Kelce citing in regards to his production. Rasheed Rice stepped up in regards to a touchdown and over 100 yards. So utilizing those weapons. And then in the second half, the front seven took over. It was, I want to say, conservative by Antonio Pierce once they fell behind in terms of the matchup. By double digits, they were down 11, went for it on a fourth down inside their own territory. They got stopped, and that allowed Kansas City to kick another field goal and go up by two scores. Just a dynamic defensive effort, all-around effort by Andy Reid. They started slow but got right in the second and third quarters, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely so. Joe, again, they had not scored a single point in the second half in their last three games. Almost unfathomable to consider. They outscored the Raiders 17-3 in the final two quarters yesterday out in Las Vegas. Joe, this Raiders team under Antonio Pierce is fighting. They're out there playing. They didn't end up covering as a 9.5-point underdog yesterday against KC. Before the Chiefs, some positive. Travis Kelce, 91 yards on 7 targets, had 6 grabs. And Rasheed Rice, 8 grabs, 107 yards. And a touchdown for Kansas City. So KC only a half game behind Baltimore. The Chiefs have a much easier schedule down the home stretch than that of the Flock. Joe, a huge divisional game in the AFC South between Jacksonville and Houston. The Jags in H-Town taking on the Texans. They had a cushion, Joe, in the fourth quarter, and it seemed like C.J. Stroud was on his way once again to leading a game-winning or game-tying drive. But a couple of costly sacks on that final offensive possession results in a 58-yard field goal attempt, Joe, for Matt Amendola that literally comes up inches short, clanking off the center of the crossbar and out. Jacksonville holds on for a crucial divisional victory, Joe, 24-21 in Houston yesterday.
Yeah, another road win. They are undefeated on the road or on the neutral field site this year. 5-0, and that's dynamic. And they are, in my opinion, still the best team in the division and maybe potentially the second-best team with Kansas City in regards to the division. I put Baltimore now 1, Kansas City 2, and I have to think that Jacksonville is right there because of the way the defense stepped up and the way Trevor Lawrence abused that secondary, right? 364 yards through the air. They didn't do it with the rushing attack, although they still added the runs there with Travis Etienne, 80 yards on the ground. But that defensive effort when the game was on the line is really what mattered. I know they gave up a field goal attempt, but they bent, they didn't break, and they're another team, just like the Eagles. Eagles are better, much better, but Jacksonville on the road finds ways to grind these games out. And from the big picture perspective, right, that's what you want to see teams do in terms of a playoff run. Doug Peterson has this team focused. They're going to be a tough out, whoever they match up with in the playoffs, Ben, but a dynamic road effort for the Jaguars against Houston.
Yeah, a huge victory, Joe, for Jacksonville. Now a two-game cushion in the AFC South over both the Texans and, surprisingly, the Indianapolis Colts, both teams 6-5. Jacksonville unbeaten on the road, 5-0, a true testament to what the Jaguars have done this year. Trevor Lawrence, 364 through the air, a touchdown and an interception. The rookie of the year on the other side is C.J. Stroud, though, Joe. Again, pretty sensational, 304 yards, 2 touchdowns, did not throw an interception, 47 yards on the ground was Houston's lead rusher yesterday by a pretty good margin. Also a rushing score, a couple of big runs on that final offensive possession, but just taking too many sacks. Not necessarily his fault, but those moments, Joe, that a veteran with a couple more years of experience probably gets the ball out of his hand to make it either an easier field goal try or potentially a game-winning touchdown. But Lisi guy, as a favorite, and Jacksonville was only a 1.5-point favorite in H-Town yesterday, they're 6-1 this year against the number, are the Jaguars. They have covered in all 8 of their victories. So not only a stellar record, Joe, one of the better cover teams in the National Football League at this moment. Lisi guy, minus 1,000 is the price for Jacksonville now to win the AFC South division. Speaking of those Colts, Joe, 6-5 for Indianapolis, a 7-point win over Tampa Bay yesterday, 27-20, Indy covering as a slight home favorite. Lisi, from the AFC South to the NFC South we go. In Atlanta, the Falcons beat the New Orleans Saints 24-15. Derek Carr only threw one touchdown yesterday, Joe. It was to the Atlanta Falcons. Jesse Bates picks him off in the end zone, takes it 92 yards the other way at the end of the opening quarter for a pick six. New Orleans had 15 points, Joe, 5 field goals, unable to find Pater as an offense yesterday, despite Derek Carr throwing for more than 300 yards. Joe, the Falcons are 5-6. The Saints are 5-6, but due to the head-to-head tiebreaker right now, Atlanta's in that first-place position in the AFC South.
Yeah, this game hurt. I watched every snap of this ball game. I was sitting on the over 41.5. Needed that field goal at the end, but a gutty effort by Atlanta. Dez Ritter stepped up. Bijan Robinson, 91 rushing yards on the ground. Had the receiving touchdown in terms of the wheel route that put the pressure on Derek Carr. This is twofold. This was a great effort by Atlanta. Jesse Bates, an unbelievable game momentum interception. They were down 3-0. New Orleans was driving to potentially go up 6-0 or 10-0 if they could actually score a touchdown and really gave the momentum back to the home team. But this comes down to the gutless New Orleans offense. I'm sorry, gutless. Yeah. Dennis 100%. Allen plays for field goals. They have no problem moving the football between the 30s. Once they get inside the 30s, they are a different offense. Everything goes sideline to sideline. They want to run it. Multiple plays. Taysom Hill with a fumble when he was running into potentially inside the 10-yard line. They're a comedy of errors every time they get inside the 30, not just this game, throughout the regular season, and that's on Dennis Allen, the head coach, because they could have had at least 2 or 3 more road wins and wins under their belt than what they have now.
The Saints won 6-1, Lisey guy, as the favorite this year. It was only a point and a half, 2-point spread yesterday in the ATL. The Falcons win outright as an underdog. And where the Dirty Birds, Joe, not only sitting in that first place spot, but at 5-6, have an advantage, is a 3-0 record in the NFC South Division at this moment. The Saints and the Falcons do play each other back in the Big Easy week number 18. That game could decide the division in the finale of the regular season. But at this moment, the Falcons in first due to head-to-head tiebreakers and even money plus 100 favorite. And Joe, it seems more than likely that for a second consecutive year, the winner of the NFC South might be below 500. Joe, a team that started off 0-3 and then 1-5 and since then has won every other game, the Denver Broncos, they've now won 5 straight games, a 29-12 victory yesterday at home in Mile High over the Cleveland Browns. Denver easily covering as a point and a half favorite. Lisey, we'll talk about that game on the other side as we recap the rest of the NFL slate on Sunday for week number 12. We'll look at the conclusion of week 12 Monday night in Minneapolis and some quick thoughts on college football before we head out of here, but we're not going anywhere just yet. We're back on Football Full Circle in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
There is no hotter team right now in the AFC than that of the Denver Broncos. Joe, Denver has won 5 in a row after an 0-3 and then a 1-5 start to this season. And they do so yesterday at home in convincing fashion. 29-12, Joe, the victory for Denver over Cleveland. The Broncos easily covering as a point and a half, 2-point home favorite. There were some issues for the Browns, Joe, that we'll talk about in just a moment. But all the credit goes out to Denver. We were both incredibly critical and rightfully so. So, of all the investment and resources placed into getting Sean Payton as your head coach and Russell Wilson as your quarterback to be the unmitigated disaster they were in 2022 and early on in 2023, but now, Joe, the Broncos have won 5 straight, the hottest team in the AFC, well within striking distance of a playoff spot in that conference.
Yeah, I got to eat some crow on this one. I was wrong in terms of, wrong for the moment in regards to what Sean Payton did. I mean, after they get blown out by Miami, allow 70 points in terms of that ball game, trying to, like, you know, take off and sell off pieces, they've rebounded in a big way and are now in contention for a potential wild card. They are doing it the old-fashioned way, running the football, shutting down the run, and being opportunistic and winning the turnover battle. They're not, quite frankly, doing it through the air, Russell Wilson, playing efficient, but not throwing for like 250 or 300 yards per game. Again, only a buck 25 last night and yesterday afternoon. But what did they do? They ran the football for 169 yards on the ground against one of the best rush defenses in the AFC in Cleveland, and they won the turnover battle 3-1. That, more times than not, will get you a victory, or at least put you in a position to win ball games in the NFL. And credit Sean Payton for righting the ship and getting this team now back over 500.
Yeah, Joe, it's really interesting when you look at how they have done this. Russell Wilson throwing for less than 200 yards in 4 of these 5 consecutive wins. It hasn't been the greatest statistical performances offensively, but still they're finding ways to win, and they are very much in the thick of an AFC wildcard chase at 6-5. Technically, Joe, if the season ended today, Indianapolis would have that 3rd and final wildcard spot in the AFC, the 7th and final in the overall conference postseason picture because of a head-to-head advantage over Houston. But those two teams at 6-5, and Joe, so too is the Denver Broncos. Now, for Cleveland, Joe, Dorian Thompson-Robinson knocked out early in the 3rd quarter on a play that was called roughing the passer on Baron Browning, Denver's linebacker. I don't actually think it was. It was just a hard hit in a violent sport that is football. Regardless, DTR into concussion protocol, unfortunately, for Cleveland. But PJ Walker steps in, the guy with relief experience, of course, Joe, and then a couple plays later, on that drive, they decide to run wildcat with wide receiver Elijah Moore. It's a 17-12 game, a one-score game at this point, and Cleveland has the ball into Denver territory, and they call a weird game, they fumble it, and then it's picked up by Denver. The Broncos never look back. Of course, they win by 17. I thought it was poorly mismanaged, Joe, for a Cleveland team that's already behind the eight ball, of course, without Deshaun Watson, but very interesting knowing the guys that you have to fill in have experience at this point. It was an interesting move for me. Elsewhere, Joe, around the AFC North, Pittsburgh, for the first time in its 11 games this year, outgains an opponent. The Steelers come back in the second half, Joe, after being down 7-3 at the break to knock off Cincinnati in Cincy. The Steelers now 7-4 alongside the Browns, who are also 7-4. Pittsburgh 16-10, the victory in Cincinnati, Joe. They cover as a 2.5-point favorite. The Steelers have covered in their last three games, booked as a favorite this year.
Yeah, and think about, you know, who stepped up. Kenny Pickett, right? 278 yards through the air, well over 60% completion percentage, no touchdowns, no interceptions, but they challenged Cincinnati's defense over the top vertically. They ran it for 4.8 yards per rush. We saw Freiermuth get involved. George Pickens with a huge catch late in the fourth quarter, so that's what you want to see out of Pittsburgh right now. Their defense came around as well, limited Jake Browning, and that offense playing at home to only 10 points. Very good effort. It is amazing, though, that once you fire Matt Canada, all of a sudden the offense becomes more aggressive, right? You're putting the ball into your playmakers' hands in terms of Kenny Pickett. That's why you drafted him, and they're pushing the ball vertically. I mean, I just don't understand how some of these offensive coordinators recognize that, you know, you're not going to go anywhere throwing sideline to sideline. You need to attack vertically, north and south, over the top. That's what wins ball games in the NFL. And credit Mike Tomlin for another divisional win over a gutty opponent in terms of Cincinnati.
Yeah, and listen, it's not going to be pretty, although Kenny Pickett had his best passing day of the year. Najee Harris ran for 99 yards and a touchdown. The numbers were good without Matt Canada. Nothing's going to be pretty or easy for the Steelers, Joe, by any means, but at 7-4, they're not going to have a losing record, it would seem. Obviously, they could drop their last six games, but just knowing how this Pittsburgh side plays, and the Steelers will certainly factor in to that AFC playoff picture. Right now, would have one of the three wild card spots if the season were to come to a close. Elsewhere, Joe, around the NFL, the Rams win 37-14 in the desert. Matthew Stafford looking good. Probably the Rams' best football game of this season. And Joe, it's a disaster for New England. The Patriots are struggling to the nth degree. Lisi, they become one of the first teams in NFL history to hold an opponent to 10 points in back-to-back games and still lose both of those games. The Colts only scored 10 points in Frankfurt. They lost. The Patriots had a bye week. They hold the Giants to only 10 points yesterday. They still lose. And Joe, Bill Belichick has nobody to blame but himself. He was the guy making the football decisions that led to Mac Jones, that led to the coaching staff that he has assembled around him. The Patriots, Joe, having their worst year in the last 25 NFL seasons. They're 2-9.
Yeah, the way Bill Belichick wants to play football, he doesn't have the personnel from a defensive perspective to play that way. I'm sorry. His defense is not dominant. His scheme is not dominant. They're not turning opposing offenses over. So when you don't do that, right, you're not going to win ball games with just, you know, ball control, methodical type of offenses. You need to be aggressive. You need to have a top 10 defense, and you have to have one of the best turnover margins in the NFL to win the way Bill Belichick wants to win. And let's not forget, you know, you talk about the personnel changes, right? Okay, we talk about the lack of explosiveness outside of Mac Jones. All right, DeMario Douglas is starting to come on, but again, Kendrick Bourne, when he was there, was not an elite number one. Just think about the number one wide receivers in the division: Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, right? Garrett Wilson, yeah. Alan Lazard. Those are much better head and shoulders wide receivers than what the New England Patriots have from an offensive perspective. And that is the problem. He drafted a place kicker and a punter in last year's draft, didn't he? I mean, that was the brain trust of how Bill Belichick wants to win football games this year. And it's pathetic. It really is. Yep. This old school mentality. I'm a blue collar guy when it comes to football. football, but you still have to be aggressive and want to score points as opposed to playing defensive, right? And saying, we hope to turn the football over. We're going to try and win the ball game 13-7. And, you know, if everything breaks our way, maybe we can get a W. You don't win in the NFL like that. You have to be aggressive with an elite quarterback, and they have nothing offensively or defensively. Stick your fork in him. He's done.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what the future is in Foxborough. I think, Joe, first and foremost, Robert Kraft has to hire a GM or a vice president of football operations, somebody to take the decision-making outside of the coaching from Bill Belichick. It's not working. It's putting New England behind the eight ball, not only this year, Joe, at 2-9, but this is how they've assembled their team in the last 3 to 4 years. They've been very cash-heavy in free agency. They've drafted incredibly poorly. It's how you set back a proud franchise multiple seasons. It's bad right now in New England. But shout out Tommy DeVito. 2 straight wins for the Giants, Joe, outright as an underdog. I know you love the celebration the DeVito family is showing off there at East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Hey, a little Jersey juice, huh? This kid's a covering machine now in back-to-back weeks. He just doesn't cover it. He wins outright. I tell you, anytime a quarterback or a team puts money in my pocket, they're very close to my heart, right? And the Giants stepped up yet again. I mean, think about it. 4.5-point home dogs to Bill Belichick. I mean, a team that was 2-8. I mean, unbelievable. And this was one of the highest bet teams from a handle perspective to make the playoffs and go over their win total. What a huge disappointment. And DeVito should have an opportunity to win that job next year with Daniel Jones coming back from injury. I think he's played better than Daniel Jones this year.
Lisa, yeah, we certainly cannot be laying points if you're the New England Patriots and would never recommend anybody betting that number. The Pats, a 6-point home underdog this upcoming Sunday in Foxborough against the Chargers. Should the Bolts be laying near a touchdown to anybody? That's a different conversation for a different day. But, Lisa Guy, could you say that Tommy DeVito, after putting some money in your pocket, is family?
Yes, he is. Yeah, why not? It's 6 degrees of separation in you and me, Ben. Went to my high school and your college. That's perfect.
Amen. Don Bosco in Jersey, Syracuse Orange football through Illinois to find his way into the National Football League. All right, Lisey, Monday Night Football ends out week number 12 in Minneapolis. It's the Vikings and the Bears. Minnesota booked as a 3-point home favorite, the over-under 43.5. Lisey Guy, what's your best bet for Monday Night Football?
I think I'm going to take a shot on the over, and I know these primetime unders have been there, but with Josh Dobbs and Justin Fields, 43.5 seems a little bit light. I'm going over the total tonight. Lean to Minnesota laying the 3-point number.
Yeah, I think it's a good flat three. I think it comes down to a one-score, single-possession type game. I did something, Joe, that in the same game parlay, because you can lay a little bit of juice, obviously, and you get a big plus money price. I did Minnesota minus 2.5 at minus 128, one of the alternate spreads. I think they could win by a field goal. I actually think we see some points over 43.5. And, Joe, I think my favorite bet is looking at both tight ends, but specifically Chicago's tight end, Cole Kmet, over 39.5 receiving yards. With the five games that he played fully healthy with Justin Fields to start the year, over in 3 of the 5, and one of the unders was 38, so barely missing this margin. And then with Tyson Bagent, he went well over this number in 3 straight games. Last week with Fields back, only 21 yards, but I think Cole Kmet has become some of the central focus for that offense and one of Fields' favorite targets. Joe, do you think the Joshua Dobbs magic continues tonight? The only player now in NFL history in his first 3 games with a team to have a rushing score and a passing score in all of his first 3 games with that club.
It's possible. Again, I mean, I give the edge of coaching to O'Connell over Eberflus, but it's still our guy, Justin Fields. I think the Minnesota defense is going to have to account for Fields in terms of the rushing attack. If they do that, they should step up, and I think Josh Dobbs has a Josh Dobbs type of day. 240, 250. He has the playmakers, like you mentioned, in terms of Hockenson, Powell, and Addison around him. He should put up numbers tonight.
Yeah, at least you got your guy, Donnie Wrightside, who you'll be with later tonight on Pro Football Today for special Monday Night Football edition, had a great game special that I saw. Justin Fields and Joshua Dobbs to combine for 100 rushing yards at even money plus 100. Love the look right there. I'm sure you guys will discuss later tonight on Sports Grid Pro Football Today, the Monday Night Football edition. Lisa, you got We'll get into some college football on the other side of the break. We never have as much time here on these Monday shows that recap the weekend, a dive into college football like we would enjoy. But we'll talk about the big games from the weekend, Joe. Not just the big games, but the game between Michigan and Ohio State. The Apple Cup, the rivalry for Washington and Wazoo. And, of course, the Milrow Miracle at Jordan-Hare in the Iron Bowl. All of that, some quick thoughts on the other side of the break to round out this edition of FFC. College football is the focus. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle for just a few more minutes. Joe, let's call it a college football frenzy. Fire through the weekend that was in the marquee matchups, including not a game, but the game. And for a third consecutive year, Joe, Michigan hails to the victors, 30-24 inside the Big House in favor of the Maize and Blue. They cover as a 3.5-point favorite and make that three straight, Joe. Wins over Ohio State, Big Ten East Divisional crowns, and now appearances in the Big Ten Championship game. Joe, how did Michigan get it done on Saturday?
Defense and a rushing attack again. I mean, they just found ways to grind down Ohio State. In the end, they got the critical turnover against Kyle McCord, had a critical turnover in the first half that changed the complexity and momentum. They just find ways now to wear down the Buckeyes in a gutty home effort by J.J. McCarthy and the crew.
Yeah, two costly turnovers for Kyle McCord. Ryan Day now, Joe, 56-7 during his tenure as Ohio State's head coach. It's just that four regular season losses have come three times in a row now against the Michigan Wolverines. Elsewhere, Lisa Guy, in the Apple Cup, Washington survives. Grady Gross, a walk-on kicker, becomes a scholarship kicker after he drills a 42-yard field goal as time expires. The Huskies end their perfect regular season at 12-0. The Cougs, though, do, Joe, cover as a 16.5-point road underdog.
Yeah, gutty effort. They just find ways to get it done. It might not be pretty, but they've now had two back-to-back games, Oregon State and now Washington State, where they found a way to win just the way they did against Oregon. I still think they're alive against the Ducks in terms of the Pac-12 championship.
Now a 9.5-point underdog on Friday in Las Vegas. And finally, Joe, weird things happen in the Iron Bowl, especially at Jordan-Hare Stadium. But Jalen Milroe on 4th and goal from the 31-yard line finds Isaiah Bond in the back corner of the end zone. A touchdown to win the game against the Auburn Tigers 27-24. Alabama, a perfect SEC schedule this year. They face the Georgia Bulldogs, the two-time defending national champions in the SEC title game on Saturday in Atlanta. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll talk to you tomorrow live right here on Football Full Circle.